All I say and think be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. That's it, please. Well, you will have noticed Halloween yesterday. It means All Hallows' Eve. I mean, it is it's supposed to be the evening before All Saints' Day. So they've done that a little bit early, and we're going to do All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day a little early. Because November the 1st is All Saints' Day, November the 2nd is All Souls' Day, so that's in the week. As is our usual custom here, we celebrate both today. I'd written a sermon, and I wasn't terribly happy about it, so I went looking on Google. You know about Google, I'm sure. And the next bit, I've lifted off a sermon by a Father Simon on the internet. And he wrote, "When we think of heaven, we might imagine clouds and angels, harps and halos, meeting once again our loved ones in some ethereal place. The book of Revelation, for example, shows that it will be filled with people wearing white robes, praising God, praising and worshipping freely and gladly. It is perhaps difficult to imagine oneself in such a context. It has the same effect in a way as those stained glass windows, depictions of people who look very holy and have soup plates behind their heads. It's difficult to think that perhaps one day we ourselves will be depicted in a stained glass window. But Paul, writing to the Ephesians, we've just heard it today, uses the word saint to describe all Christian people. For sainthood is the goal, what we are called to do. Not necessarily how we are." End of quote. So let's get one thing clear at the outset. If you live your life as God intends, and as Jesus, the Word of God, describes, you are a saint. Lower S. Paul's letter to the Ephesians underlines that definition when he writes, "I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints." He is referring to all of us who aspire to walk in God's ways. But that gospel reading today might seem familiar but different. If so, it would be because you are used to hearing Matthew's version of the Beatitudes, which begin in chapter 5 of Matthew, the start of his recording of the Sermon on the Mount. Today's reading, then, is the start of Luke's version of that Sermon on the Mount. And it has a very different purpose. Matthew has 8 Beatitudes. They start with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Luke has just 4. But Luke follows up those 4 Beatitudes with 4 woes, which underlines the different purposes of Luke's account. Essentially, Matthew has Jesus providing a standard of perfection to which his disciples must strive. He says, "Be thou perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." And each beatitude comes with its spiritual reward. "The poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It is spiritual, it is comforting, it is an opportunity for the kingdom of heaven to break through here and now. If you're not careful, you could let Matthew's version invite you to indulge in self-righteousness. It is probably that feel-good factor that has made Matthew's version to be accepted more readily than Luke's. But we must go on to a study of Luke's. Luke, the pragmatic doctor who sees the world and the disciples as they are, and is anxious they should be encouraged and motivated by Jesus' words. It helps to see the occasion in context. Luke records that Jesus has just chosen 12 of his disciples and called them to be his apostles. That is to say, those of his followers charged with spreading his word. Jesus comes with those 12 to a high place, the Mount, and they stand before the great crowd of his followers. If you read into that a symbolic reminder of the 12 tribes of Israel, and God's charge to those tribes to spread the knowledge of the one true God, then you expect many of that crowd gathered there will have come to the same thought. So Jesus here in Luke is reassuring the crowd addressing them directly, without the use of you, promising them, as children of Israel, with that sacred destiny, to have courage, that things must change, and that change is in their hands. And boy, has what he describes got relevance today? His audience then would have contained both rich and poor. His listeners today are no different. If you are poor, hungry, weeping, despised, can't afford to both eat and turn the heat on, your reward will come. But if you are rich, well-fed, happy, laughing, respected, perhaps your investments are doing well enough. Perhaps your new car has arrived. You had your reward. Jesus challenges you to reflect on your good fortune. You are in danger of being self-satisfied, self-sufficient, self-righteous. And so then follows guidance how everyone should try to behave. What this day is all about. Love your enemy. Turn the other cheek. Give, and that doesn't mean money necessarily, give of yourself freely. So that Jesus is challenging his community, challenging our community to strive, to be the people of God, the children of God, to aspire to be, in short, his saints. Whereas Matthew calls upon his community to aspire to perfection that reflects God's own, Luke's Jesus, calls for love and mercy, because that, for Luke, is what lies at the heart of God. And it's love and mercy that brings us here today. Jesus is speaking to everyone here. If you feel in any way disadvantaged in life, your problems may open an avenue for you to reflect on the true ways of God. If you feel comfortably provided for, beware. Your benefits might have the danger of obscuring you from the true ways of God. But everyone must recognize God's need for you to exhibit love, mercy, and compassion in your dealings with friend and enemy alike. For only then will we be able to see a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven, here on earth as it is in heaven. The invitation to prayer today for penitence was this. Since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, looking to Jesus in penitence and faith. Amen.